The Pop-Tarts Bowl with an edible mascot, which again is another bowl game that Michigan State did not qualify for.
It's the arrival. I came in a lead, went straight for the title.
Touchdown! Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvelous! Gets past Ransom! Donovan Edwards! Touchdown! The Don!
There's nothing quite like the game.
Michigan versus Ohio State.
This is The Rivalry, sponsored by Elevated Integrity Construction.
This is The Rivalry Podcast. I'm Jace, that's JP. It's your garbage-free college football podcast focused on the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry. At RivalPod across social media, and we open up with a little bit of Wheel Route. JP is remote today. Fall in love with your home all over again at the JAE Company. .com. JP falling in love with his home. Wheel Route presented to you by the J Company. What's today's Wheel Route question, my friend? Let's break the ice here on the cusp of bowl season.
Yeah, I think the question should be pretty, it's a pretty glaring one for Columbus. Who's QB1 going into next year? Because obviously last week, Kyle McCord entering the transfer portal, I think honestly a huge shock to a lot of people. I don't know if anybody in the world expected that. But not the end of the world, because this is what, with the NIL stuff happening now, the transfer portal game has been changed drastically. Like so many, I would say top quarterbacks now, huge prospects are going into the transfer portal. They've got options. I saw reports that Riley Leonard was going to be going and having an official visit. A lot of people speculating him to Notre Dame, but Ohio State has been in touch. You've got Dante Moore. You have
a lot of talk about Dante Moore in Michigan.
Yeah, him going to Michigan. I saw something about him to Oregon. I saw Dylan Gabriel announced the other day he was going to Oregon.
Yep. Dylan Gabriel to Oregon.
Yeah. You got Cam Ward. I mean, so many different portal options, which doesn't feel like, I mean, growing up, you never saw the star players leave their teams really.
Yeah.
But now with the NIL stuff going on, it's really at the end of the season. Okay, well, this guy showed out or this guy's looking for another opportunity.
Look at what happened at the Heisman Trophy ceremony, where I think they said like six of the last eight Heisman winners have been transfers, either transferred in or transferred out somewhere.
I mean, you look at Jaden Daniels for the Heisman winner. Yeah. So,
and he was, and he was good at Arizona State, but he obviously really came into his own at LSU. Yeah.
And so I think the big question for the Buckeyes is who's QB1? You kind of have a split fan base right now in a weird three part breakdown where you've got a third of Ohio State fans that are like, give me Devin Brown, let me go. Those are the fans that have never watched football. Then you have the other third who want Lincoln Kindholz, which, you know what, I would be, if it's not going to be somebody from the transfer portal, I want to roll with
your
him.
Guy.
I want to roll with him because I feel like the raw talent is there. I want to see what the kid has. Then there's the other side, which is the camp that I currently fall in, where I feel like you need to go in. And I think with the Lincoln Kindholz thing, there's also that let us see Aaron Noland camp. So it's go with the young guys over Devin Brown. Then I'm in the camp right now where it's you got to bring in somebody from the portal. Ohio State still is going to have too many playmakers. They're still going to be a good team. I just don't trust handing the keys over yet to an underclassman. I know Kindholz has already been there for a year.
But it's a different starting versus being there.
Yeah, I would rather, and he didn't even really get play time. Yeah. And the fact that he was sitting behind Devin Brown, who I saw play what I think he thought was football, just didn't impress me at all. And so I want to see him get another year, add some more weight, get a little bit more comfortable. And I don't trust Aaron Noland going in yet. I think he's going to be the guy long term that I could see him starting like sophomore year. But for now, you've got to bring in a guy. And I think the obvious answer for me is Cam Ward. I'd love to see him. I also love Riley Leonard. I think I watched a couple of his games when he was at Duke this past season. I thought they had a better chance had he not gone down with some injuries randomly throughout the year. They had a chance to be more competitive than they ended up being. And so for me, the options are very limited. I think I would love to see Cam Ward or give me Riley Leonard. If not, you've got to go Kindholz.
Yeah, and from the Michigan perspective of this too, I'm going to say the same thing about next season that I felt about 2023, which was Kyle McCord was never terrible, but he never went from good to great for me. like watching him through the season, he never went from good to great. I don't feel like any of those options on the table right now for Ohio State are great options, because you've got to, if you go with a transfer, you've got, you know, that's probably your best option, but you're losing presumably. I mean, most of your offensive playmakers, right? You're likely to lose Harrison. You're likely to lose Ibuka and Stover. Fleming's transferring out. McCord's gone. Trevion's gone. Trainum's gone. Mayan's gone. I mean, that's an offensive line has been very suspect. Like, there's a huge chunk of holes to fill right there.
And the weird thing about everything going on right now, I mean, some of those players are for sure gone. Stover is gone. He's done.
Marv is gone.
A lot of stuff.
I know people are trying to hold on to Marv, but it's like he's not coming back, folks.
I am not falling into that camp yet where I think he's coming back, but there are things that he has been saying, like publicly coming out and saying, where it makes me think there's just no way. And I believe this a little bit more than I believed CJ last year when he was kind of taking his time and whatever. I just feel like there's a little bit of a difference, but I think Marvin is partially waiting to see who quarterback one might be. Because I think if you bring in somebody, and the play styles of these quarterbacks are so different, you know, you've got Riley Leonard, who is a pocket passer, who's a bigger body guy. Then you got Cam Ward, who might come in, who's a little bit more. He reminds me of Braxton Miller. He's very agile, very quick, can still throw the ball. And I think, I don't know if Marvin's ever played with a guy like Cam Ward. And so I'd like to see what he could do in that offense, because I think you see it with McCarthy where he's able to make plays with his legs, but it's not just him rushing the ball. It's him escaping the pocket and being able to make plays on the run. You saw it last year with CJ, or not last year, 2 years ago now, with CJ in the Georgia game with him. And that was CJ's best game, was when he finally opened up stuff with his legs and he had that phenomenal pass. He was directing Marvin into the end zone and scored a touchdown.
There's a 0.0% chance that he's coming back. He's not waiting for QB1. There's nothing left for him to come back and improve on as a guy who's absolutely going to the NFL.
I'm with you. Until he officially says it, we just can't say, because there's been numerous times on this podcast where you specifically say something, and then later on that day, something happens.
So my statements have the opposite effect, is what you're saying.
So basically.
Okay. Marvin Harrison is coming back to Ohio State. There you go.
You've already said it before. It's set in stone. The first thing you said. So he's coming back officially. You heard it here first on the Rivalry Podcast. So
I know the question was about Ohio State. I think on the Michigan side for QB1, obviously it depends on what JJ McCarthy does. And I think you've even asked me maybe off mic what I think his decision will be. And I truly think that it depends on what happens in the playoffs. If Michigan goes out and wins the national title a few weeks from now, I don't see McCarthy coming back. You've reached the zenith. I don't know why you would.
You don't think he wants to come back and defend it at that point? He seems like the kind of guy that would want to come back and be like, no, I won this last year. You've got to come take it from me until I physically have to leave.
I just think it's so difficult to win a national title and then decide I could go pro now or I could come back. I think NIL money definitely plays a role there too, because if you come, you know, to the other side, if you come back as a national champion, you're going to be making good money in NIL for the next year, you know? And if you feel like, you know, for McCarthy, if he feels like his draft stock could go up dramatically by coming back, I think that's a factor too, because he's probably not a first round quarterback. He's maybe late first round, but I see him more as a mid second round guy. You know, and so he does have an opportunity to come back and do that. I just find it so difficult to say all these guys that stuck around, and McCarthy wasn't going pro last year, but all these guys that stuck around to go do one thing, win a national title. If they get it done, it's just very hard for me to see him coming back. If he does, that's obviously phenomenal.
I guess the difference for me, and this is the one thing I respect about him, is I genuinely think he loves the University of Michigan. Like, there are players that come in and they've got pride in their school. And then there are guys that, like, you know, are going to rep Michigan hard for the rest of their life. Blake Corum and JJ McCarthy feel like those kind of people to me. Yep. And I feel like McCarthy doesn't feel like he plays the game for money or accolades like that. I think he does it to win. And I think that might play a factor where I feel like genuinely he loves Michigan and he just loves playing football. So if they win a championship and he knows the talent coming back, I could see him loving the challenge of coming out and repeating. Because I think he knows, barring any injury, the NFL is still going to be there. But building a legacy that at Michigan, where I think he deeply cares about that, and cementing that as, no, I want to be the greatest quarterback at the University of Michigan ever.
And the turnover for Michigan is not nearly as drastic as it's going to be for Ohio State. But you are going to lose guys like Roman Wilson and Cornelius Johnson and Blake Corum. Like, you are going to lose those guys. You're going to lose guys like Zach Kazinter and Trevor Keegan. So you've got some different pieces. What's that?
Isn't Mike Sanders still out too?
Mike Sanders still, like, yeah. I guess I was thinking more offense, but yes, correct. You know, and you've still got, Michigan will still have some talented guys around that. We've seen Samaj Morgan flash in the last half of the season. Tyler Morris has been in there. Peyton O'Leary, like, you're still, Colson Loveland will still be there. Donovan Edwards is a question mark right now. So you could have, you know, you could have a major turnover if Dono and JJ both go pro. But you could also have a nice blend of, here's some veteran guys. And Michigan, much like Ohio State, right? There's a lot of just reload, but you want to try to limit that, where Ohio State's got what looks like almost a complete reload on offense. It's not the place you want to be. Michigan's is going to be a little bit more staggered, it looks like. And a lot of that will depend on what JJ and Edwards decide to do. So we'll see that. We'll get to that. Obviously we'll find out more about that after the playoffs. Do want to say a big thank you to Elevated Integrity Construction for sponsoring this season of the Rivalry Podcast. JP, you have a home. You're there right now. And if you've got a home, business, or church building project, you don't want to go with the guesswork. You want to go with integrity. It's right there in the name. Go with integrity at elevatedintegrity.com. We're thankful to Aaron Carroll and his team. Also, the Rivalry brought to you in part by the J Company. Fall in love with your home all over again at the JAEcompany.com. We're across social media at RivalPod on YouTube, where maybe you're watching this episode right now, on Twitter and Instagram. Again, that's at RivalPod. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode with a friend. You can subscribe wherever you're listening to the podcast right now. We are in the midst of bowl season, right on the cusp of it starting. And there's a lot of bowl games, man. And we did this last year. We called it Jingle Bowl Rock. And I think we're going to do that again this year. Typically I suck at this, but last year,
my stupid genius picks this year. It wasn't great. I think I waited till the very last week of the season to get one right.
I'm still not sure you got one right, to be honest with you.
I did, but I don't remember what I picked.
Typically I suck at this, but last year, my dad and my brother and I we found like this little chalice at Goodwill years and years ago. And we do like a little, family, bowl matchup championship thing. I won for the first time ever last year. So I'm coming in with a lot of swagger, a lot of pride. And so we're not going to overly analyze these games because we can't. We're going to just run through the games. You can make comments if you want to. The ones that we will not pick, we're not going to pick Mizzou or Ohio State yet. We're not going to pick the playoff games yet, because next week we will talk in depth about Ohio State and Missouri. We'll talk in depth about Michigan, Alabama, and we'll take a little look at Texas, Washington ahead of the national championship game as well. So, JP, let's start with the Myrtle Beach Bowl. This is Georgia Southern against Ohio. Who do you have?
I've got to go Ohio.
Why?
I know their starting quarterback is in the transfer portal now. So, I mean, it's a huge hit. I know he was literally the main player for them. But I got to go with Ohio. I can't go against the home state.
I absolutely can go against the home state, but I'm a sucker for the Mac. So I'm going to take Ohio as well in this one.
No Mac, it ain't never hurt anybody.
The Cricket Celebration Bowl. This is Howard and Florida A&M.
Can we just take a minute to appreciate the name of that bowl?
The Cricket Celebration Bowl.
The Cricket Celebration Bowl.
I think it's not like the animal. It's like the wireless provider, right?
Do crickets celebrate this bowl? Crickets, or that's a huge issue. Man.
Just pick a team, man. We got 57
Howard.
Of these.
Howard.
Okay, incorrect. Florida A&M has 11 wins this year, which is as many as Ohio State. Florida A&M.
They're comparable, sure.
R&L Carriers, New Orleans Bowl, Jacksonville State, and Louisiana.
Jacksonville State, easy.
Correct. This is my four-year-old's favorite bowl, the Avocados from Mexico Cure Bowl between
Amazing.
Miami of Ohio and Appalachian State.
It's got to be Miami of Ohio. You can't stray away from the hometown. My brother is an alumni from there. I've visited campus a few times, home of Ben Roethlisberger, who I hated for many years.
So if we're doing the family, the affiliation thing, I can assume down the line here you're taking Liberty over Oregon. So we'll get back to that. Given that you have an Absolutely. Online degree from there. It is Miami, Ohio. It is Miami, Ohio, if for no other reason than I just cannot pick App State all these years later. I'm still a little bit triggered by that.
Why not? What did they do to you?
It's a long story. New Mexico, New Mexico Bowl, New Mexico State and Fresno.
There is so much this to me that wanted to pick
one.
Fresno.
This is an easy one.
But it's because I always remember the Derek Carr days of Fresno State. It's not going to be Fresno State. New Mexico State.
Thank you. New Mexico State, who beat Auburn, who should have beat Alabama, and I think New Mexico State deserves a playoff spot. Michigan would like to play them. That's all I'm going to say. The dumbest bowl I've ever seen, the Los Angeles Bowl hosted by Gronk. UCLA that and Boise is not State. A thing. It is. UCLA and Boise State. Big Ten team.
Yeah, but they're not going to have, I mean, it's got to be Boise.
You're not going to pick, you're not going to pick UCLA as a Dorian Thompson Robinson fan?
I am not a Dorian Thompson Robinson fan, so. I've also seen him try and play football for the Browns. Thank the Lord we have Joe Flacco now. Never thought I'd say that.
We're going to move on. Boise State is correct. The Independence Bowl, it's Cal and Texas Tech. This is also an easy one.
I went back and forth on this. I think I'm just going to go with my initial gut that says Texas Tech.
That is correct. Texas Tech has a good offense. That's all they need. The famous Toastery Bowl.
I don't even know.
Western Kentucky and Old Dominion.
I mean, we at least got to see a glimpse of Western Kentucky in person, so I'm going to go with them.
Yeah, Austin Reed is still a really good quarterback.
Yeah, the offense is still elite compared from what you were saying. So,
I was a different man back then.
Yeah,
be clear. Okay. Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl. Our boys at UTSA against Marshall.
We can't. We got to go UTSA. Go Roadrunners.
Birds up.
Birds up. Meet. Let's go.
Boca Raton Bowl. It's South Florida and Syracuse.
Yeah, this is cheap because South Florida gets this game. But you know what? I'm going Syracuse.
It's a dumb pick. I actually have no idea. I think they're both 6-6. South Florida, because they almost beat Alabama and probably deserve that fourth playoff spot.
That was like week two.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot that you're part of the college football playoff committee and games played in September don't matter.
They don't. No games matter. It's the college football playoffs where you can win a game and it just doesn't even, nobody
next
cares.
Next year, the playoff expands and Ohio State can finally get in. So good for you guys. Gasparilla Bowl. Stop. It's Georgia Tech and UCF, Central Florida.
I'm going Georgia Tech.
Okay.
It's not going to be, Georgia Tech is a bad team, but there's just a gut. Whenever these happen, I have to go with my gut.
Yeah, well, your gut's wrong. UCF smoked Oklahoma State and nearly beat Oklahoma. It's going to be UCF.
We'll see.
Birmingham Bowl, it's Troy and Duke. Riley Leonard, of course, not playing in that game.
Yeah, and this one surprises me because Troy is 7.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I mean, they won 11 games.
You know what? It doesn't matter. Duke is going to win. A Riley Leonard-less Duke is going to win this game.
That's just not true. Troy, with 11 wins, as many as Ohio State, will win this game. No,
who does Troy play?
I don't know, man. Listen, there's 1,000 of these bowls. I'm not looking them up. The Camellia Bowl, we're moving on. Arkansas State and Northern Illinois. What?
It's going to be Northern Illinois. We saw Arkansas State, I think. Was that them this year? It sounds like a school that's made up that somebody schedules week two of the season, so it's not.
You got to stay with the MAC school, Northern Illinois. The Armed Forces Bowl.
I'm pumped about this one.
James Madison and Air Force, the Dukes, finally get some justice and get to play in a bowl game.
Give me James Madison. Absolutely. I'm all about the underdog and everything. I want him to roll. I want him to absolutely torch him.
I mean, I'd kind of
look to our surface. Like, thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service, but
you're going to get destroyed.
Did you watch Army Navy, by the way?
I did not. We were busy this weekend, so okay. I didn't get a chance
to. Okay. Really phenomenal ending as Navy comes up 6 inches short of the goal line. It was phenomenal. Was cheering for Navy. Don't tell my sister in the Army. She's going to be very upset when she gets
say it on
back.
A podcast. That's great.
She doesn't listen. It's fine. Georgia State and Utah State, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Another bowl, by the way, that Michigan State did not qualify for.
Wow. Can you imagine?
Imagine,
can you just imagine
having a potato bowl that you're not allowed to be part of?
That you're literally not. You're not good enough for.
Utah State for me.
It's Utah State.
The something or other Venture Bowl, that it's small type. I can't read it. Eastern Michigan, Ventures Bowl. Eastern Michigan, South Alabama. Give me EMU. We're staying in the MAC.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm just picking Eastern all the Michigan. MAC teams. Why not? All right, now
although South Alabama, 16-point favorites in that one.
I'm gonna make a slight.
So maybe we're wrong.
I'm gonna make a slight adjustment here to South Alabama just based on some new information I just received.
I'm sticking with my guns.
Now we start getting into some bowls that that might have a little bit more luster to them. The Las Vegas Bowl, it's Utah and Northwestern.
It's got to be Utah.
Yeah, even without the pig farmer guy, I mean, Utah's just got too much talent. I would love to see Northwestern win this game.
Oh, it would be great if I don't see it.
Coastal Carolina and San Jose State, the Hawaii Bowl.
I have San Jose State. No real reason.
Yeah.
No real reason.
It's the Hawaii Bowl. You don't have to have a reason. How about the Quick Lane Bowl? It's Bowling Green and Minnesota.
There's a realistic chance that I go to this game.
Why?
Because it's in Detroit, and you always get annoyed when I say this. Bowling Green is loaded with kids from my hometown.
Gosh.
They've got 4 or 5 guys from Mansfield on the squad. I'm going Bowling Green. My dad is an alumni from there.
We don't care.
I don't know if he actually graduated, but I know he at least went to school in a class there. So Bowling Green. Go Falcons.
What's amazing is my dad did the exact same thing at another MAC school. I think he took a class at Central Michigan, didn't graduate from there, and then hit the transfer portal. I don't know. I've also got Bowling Green here because Minnesota is hot, but.
But they're favorites, which is crazy. But also, we saw Bowling Green, and they are also
They are also very bad, but they are better than Minnesota.
True.
First Responder Bowl, it's Texas State and Rice.
I am going to go with Texas State.
Yeah, I've got a personal rule against picking food in a football game, so Texas State is going to be. I know that's going to frustrate our friends at UTSA, but it's just for one game. Okay, just for one game. The Guaranteed Rate Bowl, whatever that means, it's Kansas and UNLV, arguably Michigan's best win.
I'm going Kansas.
Ooh, incorrect.
Kansas is sneaky good.
What's funny about UNLV is they're obviously not a great football team, but this team won 9 games.
I know, which is insane to me. Look at some of the other teams that won 6 games and we're sitting here going they're terrible.
A UNLV team that gets to 9 wins, should have been 10. They dropped a game-winning touchdown in the end zone. Yep. Give me UNLV. Why not?
Okay. You're wrong. Horribly wrong.
We're not going to say.
Can we keep track of this and I get stupid genius points back?
No. You got blown out in stupid genius.
I tried.
You are the stupid. Garbage Free College Football Podcast. Kids don't say that. Virginia Tech and Tulane, the Military Bowl. This is probably one of the least interesting games.
It's going to be Tulane, though. Wave, baby.
Tulane is very good. I like Tulane.
How in the world Virginia Tech is 7.5-point favorites is mind-boggling.
No clue. Same people that put Alabama in the 4 spot. That's how. The most interesting game off the field, the Duke's Mayo Bowl, UNC, West Virginia. If you're not familiar, the winning coach gets a tub of mayonnaise dumped on his head.
Gross. Absolutely vile. Drake May, I don't know. Has he said what he's doing yet?
You know what?
I guess it all kind of depends if he plays in this. I don't know if he will or not.
I do not know. But I took UNC. I took UNC for no other reason than I want to see Mac Brown get a tub of mayonnaise dumped on him.
You know what? That's valid.
I think that'd be fun.
Most West Virginia people just already are, so.
I would actually personally like to see Ohio State in that game because I'd like to see Ryan Day get that. Anyway, it's fine. The DirecTV Holiday Bowl, Louisville and USC. This one is fascinating.
It's going to be garbage. You already have a very bad USC defense. Caleb Williams, no chance on this earth that he plays in that game. Louisville by 3 scores.
I have Louisville as well. Interesting. So Louisville is probably a favorite to win that game, but beating them doesn't count for anything if you're Florida State. That's interesting. Tax Act, Texas Bowl. No, I won't let it go. Texas A&M and Oklahoma State. I think this will be a really good football game.
Yeah, I have Oklahoma State. I know they're the underdogs right now. It's like a 3-point spread right now.
I have Oklahoma State unless Ollie Gordon sits out.
I don't know if he will either.
I don't know if he will either. But for now, I'm going to take Oklahoma State. How about the Fenway Bowl, SMU and Boston College?
Boston College is atrocious. How they got matched up against an 11-2 SMU. SMU is going to destroy them.
I can't say that because that makes Florida State look bad. Never mind.
Please say it.
Let's move on, shall we? The Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl. Near and dear to your heart.
Go!
Rutgers and the U. Who you got? I know who you
have. I have Rutgers.
Of course you do. You're incorrect.
I have no problem saying this. If I felt like they were going to lose, I would say it. I genuinely think a lot of their key guys have already announced they're coming back next year. I think they're all playing. I think Kyle Monongai is going to play. Gavin Wimsatt's going to play. I could see a couple guys from Miami sitting out, so they're going to be a little bit weaker. If these teams were both playing everybody, I would go Miami 100% because I just am not impressed with Rutgers' offense. Rutgers is going to have the better players on the field that day.
I'm going to take Miami. I hope Rutgers wins, but there's just no way I can take Rutgers in this game. The Pop-Tarts Bowl.
How dare you?
The Pop-Tarts Bowl with an edible mascot, which again is another bowl game that Michigan State did not qualify for. NC State and Kansas State.
NC State, easy. Brennan Armstrong all day.
And for that reason, I will take Kansas State. I have watched Brendan Armstrong play. He is not very good.
That's valid.
This is another one that I'm actually really looking forward to. The Valero Alamo Bowl. It's Arizona and Oklahoma.
I would normally have gone Oklahoma, but with Dylan Gabriel out, there's just no way I can pick them. Arizona.
Arizona has been a surprising team in the Pac-12 this past year. I've got Arizona as well. The Tax Slayer Gator Bowl and maybe one of the most confusing matchups, Clemson and Kentucky.
it's going to be Clemson. They're going to find a way to win it. We're going to have to deal with stupid Dabo Sweeney saying some garbage thing about how this team has been better than people gave them credit for and blah, blah, blah. And it's going to be gross. We're all going to be annoyed, but they're going
to
win.
He wants to know where Lou Holtz is right now, you know. give me Clemson in this one too. Speaking of Lou Holtz, the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl, it's Oregon State and Notre Dame.
Notre Dame's going to win.
Yeah, without DJ Uiagalelei playing for Oregon State, I just don't see how they can stay in it.
Yeah, he's not there. I think you'll see a full strength Notre Dame team.
I would presume so.
And so I just don't see it.
How about the Liberty Bowl? It's Memphis and Iowa State in a game that I could not care less about.
Yeah, it's weird that this is kind of thrown in later down the road. I've got Memphis. No real reason.
Yep. I just circled one of the teams and that's the one I happen to circle. We are going to skip.
I'll watch it.
Of course you will. We're going to skip the Cotton Bowl because again, that's Ohio State Mizzou. We'll get to that one next week. Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, Ole Miss and Penn State in what I actually think will be a pretty fascinating game.
This is actually the game I'm most hyped for because we've talked about it so many times on the podcast. I want to see Drew Aller in a big game, not suck. Every big game that he's been in, he's been trash. This is where I feel like, okay, you're not playing Michigan, you're not playing Ohio State. How are you actually performing? If he has another horrible game and Penn State loses to Ole Miss, now I'm really in the camp of I am not worried about Penn State whatsoever. But if he comes out and actually plays well and proves when the lights are bright, when he's got a big game coming out, he can perform well, then maybe I'll start to take him a little bit more serious.
So I don't know who you're picking based on that.
I'm going to go with Ole Miss because Drew Aller has not proven that he can do it.
Yeah, Ole Miss's offense, I think, against the Penn State defense will be a fun matchup, but I don't believe in that Penn State offense enough. How about Auburn and Maryland in the Music City Bowl?
I'm going Maryland.
This is another game that falls firmly in the camp of, yeah, I'll watch it, I guess.
I'll watch it. I want to see. I feel like Talia will actually play. I don't think he's going to sit out because I think he's not a clear, like, early round guy. No, and I think this could be a game where he can build his kind of resume up and say, like, no, look what I can do. And so I expect him to sling it 40 to 50 times, just an absolute showcase.
I'm going to take Maryland in this one as well, just because Auburn is not great. I do think Peyton Thorne played well in the Alabama game, but also Auburn got beat by New Mexico State the week before. So that whole Jekyll and Hyde thing where you should, you know, you had a 99.9% chance to beat Alabama until that 4th-and-31, but also got beat by New Mexico State. I just don't believe you are consistent enough to show up when it matters. So I'm going to take Maryland in this one. Another New Year's Six Bowl. It's Georgia and Florida State down in Miami at the Orange Bowl.
Georgia's going to absolutely smash them. It's going to be, I think both teams are very upset for rightful reasons.
Neither of them want to be there.
Georgia's disappointed because they blew it, and Florida State feels like they deserved it. But I just think even a ticked off Florida State team is not going to beat this Georgia team.
I don't think Georgia wants to be there. And I think Florida State, as much as they don't want to be there either, feels like they have to prove something. I've got Florida State in what should be an upset.
Okay, you are an actual moron.
This is a garbage-free podcast.
That is, look, there's no way that's happening.
Okay.
Just no way.
How about the Arizona Bowl? It's Toledo and Wyoming in another game that apparently exists.
Go Rockets, Maction, baby.
I gotta go with the Mac team. Toledo's been good this year. How about the Reliant West Bowl, whatever that is, Wisconsin and LSU in one of the worst matchups in bowl season?
Look, LSU right now, 11-point favorites. They're going to be missing people. Obviously, Wisconsin's going to win that one.
Okay, I cannot tell you how wrong that is.
No, that's the weird thing, and we can talk about it after, but like with the transfer portals and people sitting out for the draft and everything like that, these teams look so different. So what LSU looked like during the regular season is just going to be so different. So
Wisconsin
than this.
With a backup quarterback is going to beat LSU.
Yes.
Okay. I know Ohio State struggled with Wisconsin for whatever reason.
I'm sorry. Didn't you just say a third string Florida State quarterback was going to beat Georgia?
No, it's going to be Rademacher. He's going to be back.
Okay, so second string quarterback
Moving
is going
to
beat Georgia.
To the Verbo Fiesta Bowl, it's Oregon and Liberty in the actual worst matchup of bowl season.
Yeah.
Because Bo Nix is going to play.
He is going to play?
All indications are he's playing.
That's stupid, but he is going to slaughter Liberty. It is going to be just atrocious. And I am an alumni, I guess, from there. So
I am looking forward to that game just because it is going to be just disgusting. Speaking of disgusting, Iowa is in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl against Tennessee. Yeah. And I just, what do you say about this one? It's Tennessee.
You know what? You know what? I'm going Iowa.
Are you?
I'm going. I don't want to, but I love that defense. I don't know if Cooper DeJean is going to play.
I mean, he's injured.
I'm going Iowa.
Okay. As a reminder, Iowa scored 0 points in the Big Ten championship game. Tennessee is the answer we've been looking for there. And somehow, for some reason, that unfortunately, because we're not picking playoff games yet, is the note we're going to end on for bowl season. Is you picking Yikes. Iowa?
Yeah, absolutely.
In the last 2 minutes here, talk to me a little bit about transfer portal stuff, because I think the feel from some is they're looking at Ohio State's roster and seeing all these kids hitting the portal. And is that a cause for concern if you're Ohio State? And we've talked about this. I know your answer, yeah. But like, what's the short version of your answer?
Yeah, I just think it's a lot of overhype. I think a lot of these kids, there are some surprises. I mean, Kyle McCord, Julian Fleming honestly gives me the biggest question mark. I think after Ohio State lost to Michigan, the quarterback was going to be something they addressed, whether they had a conversation. I didn't know what that looked like. I fully expected Kyle McCord to come in and have to do a QB battle with somebody, but I didn't think it would be him transferring out. So I think that surprised me. The biggest thing for me, the biggest loss, I guess, would be Julian Fleming leaving, only because I feel like he's stuck it out for so long at Ohio State. He's a wide receiver. He was a former five-star recruit, highly, highly recruited guy, tons of talent, but obviously we know what the Ohio State wide receiver room has been and the depth they've had. He hasn't really had a chance. He's battled some injuries. Next year felt like the year where, okay, this is what you've been waiting for.
If you're clearing out Harrison and Ibuka and Stover, you've got Fleming as wide receiver Stover, one.
Yeah, you're wide receiver one. You're a main component. I would still say Carnell Tate's probably wide receiver one next year. But you're solid. You're in the game plan. You are a solid number two guy that whoever is behind center can rely on. And I felt like if you're going somewhere as a wide receiver, Ohio State is the best place to be. Brian Hartline has continually proved it year after year. That is the place to be a wide receiver. And then you have the chance to be the go-to guy, or at least one of the go-to guys. It didn't really make a ton of sense for him to go into the transfer portal. And we're hearing rumors about him and McCord both going to Nebraska. Whatever, have fun. That's
it. Which, for the record, Michigan does not play Nebraska next year, but Nebraska does come to Columbus in late October, which would be interesting.
Yeah. But a lot of these other guys are guys that are younger guys that hadn't really gotten a ton of playing time. I think the biggest one that we had outside of Chip Traynham, who went in, and we can talk a little bit more about that, was Cameron Martinez. He was a starter that ended up going and transferring. I don't think he's committed anywhere yet.
Yeah, I'm going to miss him.
He wasn't.
He's the guy, by the way, that failed to cover Cornelius Johnson on that deep route, for the record.
He wasn't crazy. He wasn't crazy good. Ohio State's actually got some really good secondary recruits coming in, and Aaron Scott and Bryce West, I think is his name. And so they've got some guys coming in that are going to be good. I think for me, Ohio State is losing 12 different guys. The NIL game has just changed so many things. Yeah. Like if you're sitting behind stuff, Chip Traynham was a weird, he never had like a solid place with us. We had Henderson, and when Henderson was in, he was the go-to guy. You saw Chip come in for weird situational downs, but he was never like coming in and getting, outside of injuries, coming and getting regular touches on the ball. You were splitting stuff with Mayan Williams last year. Even this year, you had some games where you split carries with Dallin Hayden. I personally was impressed with Dallin Hayden the little bit that I got to see him. I don't know if I think Henderson is leaving or going. I think that's still a big question mark. And so I think Chip, looking at his final year of playing college football, and I think this was the decider with Kyle McCord as well, is he looked at it and he said, okay, here's what's happened for me at Ohio State. I've never been the go-to back, but I've proven that I could be if given the chance. But Henderson might come back. I feel like they want to run with Dallin Hayden before his time is up. What am I looking at future-wise? Do I think I can go to the NFL? Because if I think I can go to the NFL, I need to make a change. Or if I don't think I can make it to the NFL, I just want to play football. So where can I go that can get a guaranteed starting spot? And I think that's kind of the same conversation that was had with Kyle McCord, where he was sat down and Ryan Day was honest, and this was public stuff, that he came out and said, we're not guaranteeing you a starting spot. You're going to have to come in and earn it just like every other time.
Yeah.
And Kyle McCord looked at that.
And we referenced too that this felt like maybe with less vitriol, but a Cade McNamara type situation of, hey, we're playing the best guy here.
Well, and I don't think Ryan Day sat him down and said, we're replacing you. I think we're going to battle it out
and we are going to play the best guy. And Cade clearly didn't like that.
You're going to be put into a battle and you're going to have to earn it. And I think Kyle McCord looked at that and I think he knows I'm not going to the NFL. I'm going to be a senior. So where's my best
Where can I go start?
Do I want to risk? And I don't think it was a confidence thing. I think he still thinks he could be the starter. But I get it. If you're not going to the NFL and you just want to play football, are you going to risk the opportunity of going and potentially losing and not getting to play at all? Or are you going to go somewhere where you're a for sure starting quarterback, which Nebraska he would be. You're a for sure starting quarterback and you get to enjoy maybe the last chance you ever have to play competitive football again.
The bottom line.
I totally get it. I respect it.
The bottom line here, if you're Ohio State, and yeah, it's coming from a Michigan man, but I think that the summary here is the sky is not falling in Columbus just because you've got a dozen plus guys in the portal.
It's the same thing I would say with Michigan.
Sure. I mean, and right now Michigan has, I think this morning, CJ Stokes, I think is the only player from Michigan in the portal. Running back, who again, was not going to remotely have a lead role. CJ's been fine and he'll do well. He'll do well somewhere.
And I think a real quick note for Michigan, you're going to see more players from Michigan go into the transfer portal, but they still have, it's different than what Ohio State and other teams are in because you've got Michigan going for a national championship run. None of those players are going to go into the portal beforehand.
Well, but you've got,
before figuring out what goes on with
you've that. Only got so long of a window too. And bowl practice starts right now for Michigan. And so if someone had remarked on Twitter earlier today, again, recording on Monday morning, if you're going to see movement from Michigan, you're probably going to see it now because you're not going to stick around for bowl practice if you know you're going. Depending on what happens, you know, we'll see if there's more in there for Michigan. But basically for Ohio State side, because Michigan doesn't really have much portal, you know, folks portaling out right now. For Ohio State, is there concern? Yes and no. No, there's not concern because there's got a bunch of guys in the portal. I think yes, there can be concern, not because of the portal itself, but because it's kind of that meme where you're kind of looking around and the cupboard's bare. You have a potential for that when and that's not just portal, but that's portal, that's NFL as well, where you go, okay, we've got a bunch of fresh faces starting, and that can be a little bit daunting, and I don't think that's the place that you want to be. So you have to balance those things, though. You don't go, something is inherently wrong, and that's why everyone's leaving. No, they're either going to the NFL or they're going to a starting spot. At the same time, you can look at that and go, man, we're replacing every skill. You know, we could be replacing every skill position if I'm a Buckeye fan on the offense. That can be concerning, but those are not necessarily the same thing.
Yeah, and I think the big difference is I look at Ohio State having to reload. At least the main part is the wide receiver room.
Yeah.
And I look at that and I go, okay, well, let's see who we have coming up. Okay, Carnell Tate, who played this year as a true freshman and was good when he played. I'm not sad about that. But as of now, currently, you still have Jeremiah Smith committed, who is talked about so highly that there's a chance he could come in and start as a true freshman. And then you have Brandon Ennis, who has come in and been a solid player. I think the very first catch he had of his career was for a touchdown against Purdue. And so they've got all these four and five star guys at wide receiver, and that wide receiver room is coached so well. It doesn't really concern me. I think for me, Ohio State has a plan at quarterback, and they've got guys coming in that give me confidence. I think the misconception, and this is where Buckeye fans need to just chill, is, and we talked about it at the very beginning of the episode, the NIL stuff and all these people holding out for the drafts has completely changed the way we view these bowl games. So you're going to look at this game against Missouri, and if Ohio State is healthy, if all their players are playing, this is a two-score game. Ohio State should win against Mizzou. But now you're looking at, okay, well, McCord's obviously not playing. Fleming's not playing. You have Cam Martinez, who isn't playing. Who knows if Marvin Harrison plays? Who knows if Travion Henderson plays? Who knows if Ibuka plays? Who knows if Stover plays? Who knows about Denzel Burke? Who knows about Tommy Eichenberg? Any of those guys. And, I mean, those are all huge name players for Ohio State. And you have them sitting out of this bowl game. We could realistically be talking about a Lincoln Kineholtz or a Devin Brown starting. That's going to be the case. Then you're talking about, okay, well, Chip's out. Mayan's already out with injury. So you're looking at Dallin Hayden as a starter. Then you're looking at your wide receiver room and you're going, okay, well, we're really going to see what Brandon Ennis and Carnell Tate can bring to the table. So you're right there. You're already super, super young. So this is a game nowadays, it would be nice to win, but now I'm just looking for, I want to see promise. I want to see some of the guys that I know are going to have to come in next year and take starting positions or play bigger roles. How are they going to perform? And I'm not even really watching the quarterback room because I really strongly believe Ohio State brings in a guy from the portal that gets that spot. I'm more so looking at the defense. I'm more so looking at the running game, and I'm looking at the wide receivers. I want to see how much of the playmaking ability have we lost.
Meanwhile, Michigan's preparing for a playoff game, and that just feels really good to have you run through all that and know that some of us are still playing for championships.
Well, we'll have a fun conversation when Alabama smacks you by 2 scores, and then we can hear you cry about it.
You have to cheer for Michigan. You can't cheer for Alabama.
I will never in my entire life cheer for that team. There's universe that exists where JP roots for that team.
Here, it's the same way as when Alabama played Ohio State in that 2020 shortened season title game, where I had to kind of sigh and go, "Well, roll tide, I guess." That's exactly the mentality.
It makes me want to gag to say that phrase. I will scream it from a rooftop before I would watch Nick Saban hold the next 5 trophies in a row if it meant Michigan never had to win a single thing.
Well,
want you guys to get demolished, and Jaden Milroe is going to absolutely destroy you. It's going to be, so sweet.
Well, your season will be over at that point, and so that'll be enjoyable for me. So we all get what we want in the end.
we can have a watch party of the national championship at Michigan's stadium when they're out too. So we can all groan in silence
on social media at Rival Pod. Subscribe wherever you're listening right now. And thank you for joining the rivalry.
The Rivalry is a production of River Radio Ministries. Want live updates from the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at RivalPod. Visit our Patreon and consider becoming a patron for exclusive bonus content, merch, and more. And be sure to follow us wherever you're listening now for new episodes every Tuesday. And if you like what you're hearing, tell a friend so they can listen too.